Our lesson tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 through 25, relating righteously to church leaders. We live in an era of great need for an encouraging word amid men's discouraging spiritual failure. So a word from God on the infinite supremacy and the sufficiency of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is both desirable and fitting. The Epistle of Hebrews offers it, and Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 through 25 presents our duty to relate righteously to church leaders, be they human or the Lord Himself. Remember, the Lord Himself is the head of the church. So we view the passage for our insight, our application, and our edification. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 through 25. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable or actually harmful for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. We believers must relate well to the human leaders who are over us in the local church. That's verses 17 and 24. Since the command in Hebrews 13, 17 is for readers to obey those who literally lead them, these leaders were the leaders in the local church. Now the Greek word rendered obey in verse 17 is paithistha. It's a present middle imperative of patho, obey. That is, keep obeying for your benefit the local church leaders. That's interesting. It is to the benefit of the man in the pew to obey his church leaders. That's his interest. Now the Greek term rendered submit in verse 17 is hupeko, means to yield or give way or to submit to. So for their own benefit, those in the pew must keep obeying and submitting to local church leaders who are keeping watch. Agrupvousin is a present tense of agrupneo, over their inner spiritual man, psuche. We get the word psychology from this, but it's in this context, it means their inner man. It's interesting, God calls the church leaders, especially those who are teaching church leaders, to watch over the soul, over the spiritual welfare of the people. That's a big job, but they have to do that. As those who will answer to God, that they might do so with joy, not with grief, as that would be unprofitable or harmful. Alusiteles, for their Hebrew. I know it's translated unprofitable, but can it also mean harmful? We'll have to explain this. To explain insubordination to local church leaders by the man in the pew is fueled by Satan, who takes such believers captive to do his will. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, the Apostle Paul explains this. And he's writing to Timothy, and he says, the servant of the Lord, he's reading to Timothy as a servant of the Lord, must not argue, but be gentle unto all men, tending to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose them. If God perchance will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him to do his will. When church leaders are opposed, and they're opposed, let's say, for reasons that are not biblical, notice the leaders in the right, if they're opposed by people in the pew, it's because the people in the pew are actually taken captive by Satan to do Satan's will. That's a spiritual war that is going on. So not submitting to the leaders is unprofitable or harmful to those who don't submit. Because what happens if they don't submit, then Satan continues to work with them. And guess what? Satan, he only has an agenda to destroy people physically, to destroy people emotionally, spiritually. So it's a real dangerous situation here. Conversely, God uses local church leaders who are accountable to him for the body's good. So the man in the pew is spiritually edified if he obeys and submits to his leaders. I had not planned it this way, but I just realized here. This morning in our adult Sunday school class, we were talking about, and I think to a degree, even in the sermon itself, we're talking about the value of wives submitting to their spiritual heads, which would be their husbands. It's for their protection, to avoid deception. The same is true here in the local church. It's to the advantage of the people in the pew to submit to the leaders that they have in the church over them. There's a reason why God is leading the leaders to do this. I'll never forget years ago, I wanted to go in a certain direction, and there were two leaders on our church board that were strongly opposed to it. And at the time, I really believed that these leaders were wrong because the way they were going about it was not righteous, it was carnal, actually. But later I found out that even though they were functioning in a carnal way, the Lord did not want me to go in that direction. And I was very grateful that he used these two men to block what I had wanted to do. So you have to remember, God is sovereign, and he will work through church leaders. So if there is a blockage there, you have to wait on the Lord. Obviously, if the man in the pew sees the local church leaders lead in violation of Scripture, that's another thing. He cannot heed their oversight in the issue or the issues that are involved, but the man in the pew must be sure that he knows Scriptures. So if you're going to not follow the leader and you have a biblical reason, you better have a clear biblical reason, but the best thing to do is communicate that with the leader so the leader has a chance to look at this. We had a missionary family that we are supporting now. At one time, they had a difference of opinion with leaders in the church where they were out on the mission field, and they went to the leaders several times, and the leaders did not acknowledge what they were doing was wrong. So eventually this couple felt, without trying to create a problem, they would just quietly leave that church and go to another one and continue on their missionary ministry. That's the ideal way to work. They weren't out to try to create problems, but they couldn't submit to the leaders because the leaders were not submitting to the Word of God. But they went to the leaders several times. I think it was four times, if I'm not mistaken. At least several times they went to them and besought them to heed the Word of God on the matter, and they didn't go with it. So that's the way to handle it. Fittingly, we are also obliged to greet such local church leaders along with the rest of the saints. Second verse 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you. That's interesting. Salute those who have the rule over you. Now, we believers must also relate well to the leaders God has set over the church universal. God has set over the church universal the writers of Scripture who have apostolic authority. We know that because in John chapter 17, verse 20, in his great high priestly prayer to the Father, Jesus prayed that the people who would listen to the words of the apostles would be one and united. So Jesus was there sanctioning the fact that the apostles were going to be giving their word out, and their word was going to be written down for us. And he was there by sanctioning the writings of the apostles. And since then, the early church has been careful to include in the canon of Scripture only apostles or men whom the apostles acknowledged. Luke's gospel quotes a passage, quotes a phrase from the Lord Jesus Christ, that the laborer is worthy of his hire. Paul wrote that, and he says that's what the Scriptures say. And Luke actually quoted that. And so that's how we know Luke's gospel, or a gospel and his Acts of the Apostles are canonical. But they had to have apostolic authority behind them. So the admonition in Hebrews 13, 18, and 19, and 22 to 23 to heed the author of Hebrews and his co-workers who had such apostolic authority would apply to the original recipients of the epistle to the Hebrews. However, praying for the writers of Scripture is no longer fitting because they're now in heaven. See, once a believer goes to heaven, he doesn't need any more prayer. So we shouldn't be praying for these people. However, we do apply Hebrews 13, 18, and 19 I mean, we heed Hebrews 13, 22 to 23, not Hebrews 13 and 18 and 19, because we need to obey the author's words. The author's words are scripture. Now, it's fascinating. We do not know who the writer of Hebrews was, but that doesn't make any difference because the Lord Jesus Christ, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, actually quotes from the book of Hebrews. And the quote is exclusively from Hebrews, and he treats it as scripture. So we know that whoever wrote Hebrews was canonical, and the church has universally always accepted Hebrews because of its pristine theology, its perfect theology in regards to the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Christology is impeccable. It has a very high degree of appreciation for the incarnation of Jesus Christ and the deity of Christ, which is very unique just to the Christians. So we believers also must relate well to the divine leaders over the church, universal and local, verses 20 and 21. God the Father has brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the church, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 13, 20. So we should then submit to the Father and worship him who sent his Son to the earth to save us. The verb make perfect, katartizo, means to prepare or make ready for use, implies that God the Father's intent to cause those believers in whom he has invested the death and resurrection of his beloved Son to be equipped to perform every good work toward fulfilling his will for them, working in us believers that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And it's amazing, one of the main reasons why we're saved is so that we might do good works on this earth before we get to heaven. Even though we're battling Satan, we're battling the sin natures that we have, battling the world, God wants us to have victory in performing the righteous works that God has assigned for us. And each of us has works. Our works are different from every other believer. That's why we can't compare ourselves with other believers. But we do have works, and it's fulfilling the will of God, God's good pleasure that we do those works. So accordingly, whether we are local church leaders or the man in the pew, we are responsible to submit to and to obey God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ, our great shepherd of the church, universal, that he might equip us to perform the will of God to his good pleasure. So fittingly, the author closed the epistle with the hope of God's grace being with all his readers. Notice verse 25, grace be with you all. Amen. It's fascinating. The author of Scripture did not tell us who he was. In fact, Origen, one of the great saints of of the early church, said, only God knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. And then the people in heaven know who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some think it was Paul, some think it was Barnabas, Apollos, we don't know. But it's not important. And the important thing is they wrote the word and God has honored it. So we must submit to, we must obey our local church leaders, the writings of Scripture, the work of God, the Father through his Son, the great shepherd of the church universal, that we might be spiritually protected and edified, and that what God wants to accomplish by performing the good works he ordained for us might occur. So may we submit to and obey our human and divine leaders for spiritual protection and blessing. A number of years ago, there was a man in our church who sought to promote the congregation's obedience to this. In fact, he got up and quoted Hebrews 13, 17, obey them, they have the rule over you. And unfortunately, the conditions under which he was trying to do this were not biblical. And it backfired. And it backfired, and eventually he was out of the leadership position. And I believe the reason it backfired because Satan got involved there. He wasn't functioning completely within the will of God and trying to promote something that itself was right, but not doing it properly himself, and so it backfired. Satan is always looking for an opportunity to get his foot in the door. If he can do it with a leader in the church, wow, all the better, because it creates more damage. And what Satan is trying to do is to damage the discipling ministry of God. So whether we're in the pew, whether it's the guy behind the pulpit such as myself, whether it's deacons, whatever, in the church, it's extremely important that we make sure that we're in alignment with the chain of command that God has set up, because only that way can we be protected from satanic defeat. And we don't want to be defeated, of course, by the evil one. We want to be protected by the Lord. So may God help us and encourage us to stay true to him in how we function in our relationships, especially in heeding those who are in leadership over us, whether it's the Lord himself, whether it's the local church leaders, or whether it's the leaders, the apostolic leaders with apostolic authority who have given us the word. We need to stay with that. I was talking to a lady today. She's been attending our church, but she hasn't been a member. And she said, last Sunday I was sitting here, Pastor, and I realized this church actually preaches the Bible. It teaches scripture. This is what I'm looking for. And this, I want to make this my church home. That's what she told me to name. Of course, that was thrilling to see that. But it's interesting how God always honors his word. And the church, actually the head of the church is the Lord Jesus. You know, I admit that very, very freely. He is over us, all of us, including myself. So it's very important that we heed him. And what he wants is his word taught, whether it's from the pulpit, whether it's in the Sunday school class, vacation Bible school. He wants his word. And he will honor his word. So may we submit to the Lord as well as to our leaders, and submit to the authors of scripture.